Do you know what it takes to get your brilliance out there? It can get messy, and it should. I'm Kelly, the founder of Women for One, and I talk to powerful truth tellers and change makers about the experiences that most transform them and help them to make their lives happen on their own terms. So let's dive in to the Messy Brilliance Show. Welcome to the Messy Brilliance Show. I'm Kelly McNeilis, and I am so honored to be speaking with Sister Jenna today. Sister Jenna is a spiritual leader, author, radio and TV personality, renowned speaker, and founder of the Meditation Museum in Silver Spring, Maryland, and McLean, Virginia. She serves as one of the evolutionary leaders in service to conscious evolution and was selected by Empower a Billion Women 2020 as one of 100 most influential leaders of 2015. Sister Jenna also served as a principal partner with the Oprah Winfrey Network and Values Partnerships on the Belief Team, a community of individuals from diverse spiritual, cultural, and faith backgrounds. Her wisdom, peace, and compassion for humanity are deeply expressed through the variety of initiatives she spearheads for youth, women, governments, and communities. She has collaborated with Fortune 500 companies on key issues, and her syndicated radio show, America Meditating, is a popular global online show. She is also the recipient of numerous awards and proclamations, including the President's Lifetime National Community Service Award, Everyday Hero Award by the Foundation for a Better Life, and the Friendship Archway Awards, just to name a few. So I'm really excited to dive in to all there is to speak about in the world today with Sister Jenna. So welcome, Sister Jenna. I'm honored to have you on the Messy Brilliance podcast for Women for One in our community. It's just truly an honor to have you with us today.
Oh, I am honored to be with you because I know the kind of work that you're doing, but also the intentions behind it. And I love to be a part of something that's helping the lives of many people.
I love the word intention. I'd love to start, and flow with that word of intention and ask you how you define it and what your intention is with your service and work.
Pure feelings and good wishes.
That's pretty cool.
I don't need to go into too much.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well. That's so great. So can you tell us a little, at Women for One, we talk about our stories and our experiences and how we got to where we are. Can you give my community a little background about yourself?
Thanks. Well, everyone seems to like the fact that I used to own two really well-known nightclubs. and then they always say, oh my God, from nightclub to God, you've got to tell me the story.
That's awesome. I can't wait to hear it.
Well, I don't know. I guess because I have, for the last 20-something years, I have transformed into who I am today. And I look forward to seeing what that's going to be in another 20 years from now. But prior to that, young, growing up in Miami, father is Indian, mother's African-Jamaican. She's Catholic, he's Hindu. Oh. She was orphaned at 5, really not in a good state. Mm-hmm. I watched that growing up. I saw my father struggle with how to handle that. So I think that helped me on my path to empathy as a child. That was for sure. But just like perhaps many children growing up in the U.S., driven, inspired, the world is your oyster, come on, take it all. Mm-hmm. And just always in the right place at the right time. So I had a nightclub in South Beach, which was Hopping back in the day, and another one in Key Biscayne, and luxury cars in my driveway, from the Mercedes to the Jaguar and so on. Penthouse, condominium overlooking the Atlantic. Mm-hmm. So I'm up to 24. I'm 24 now. What do I need? I don't need God. That's the last thing on my agenda.
Well, actually, for me, I searched for God then and then lost myself. So
I wild.
Came back around. Yeah.
How wild. And it's funny because I bumped into some of my friends and they said, Jen, you were always supposed to do this. And I was like, really? I wasn't even aware of that. So I actually had a download very deep experience of an awakening. It's like God's light entered my awareness. And I had a community, the Brahma Kumaris, a beautiful group of spiritual leaders, all women. So I had something to turn to. So when I had my download, the question was, where do I go with this now? Mm-hmm. And so I went to India and I spent a month there. I came back and I wasn't the same person. And so I moved into one of the Brahma Kumaris centers in New York. I stayed there for a few years. I went to Washington. I ran the centers there for over 20 years. And I'm where I am today because of the grounding of my spiritual community.
Wow. Yeah. And so they've recently celebrated their 20-year anniversary.
I did.
Oh, you did.
Okay. I did. Yeah. So we were 20 years in D.C. and we have
D.C. right.
Yes, and we have two thriving meditation museums that are just awesome. But you must come and visit at some point. And let me just outline to you the importance of this: the fact that you could have meditation museums in the nation's capital, and that they thrive. That's
not easy. Incredible. No, I can't imagine how
easy
what it took to create that.
Pure intentions.
Right. Back to intentions.
Yeah. Yeah. Pure intentions. So I'm where I am because it was just written for me to be here.
That's awesome. So from that spiritual perspective, could you offer us your perspective around where we are in the world right now? Where humanity's struggling, and you know, I feel like we've always had suffering and expansion and contraction, and that's my belief, but it feels more now that it's, what's the word I want to use? We see it on TV. It's everywhere.
It's an epidemic.
It's an epidemic. That's the word. So I'm curious what your feeling is about it.
Some mornings I get upset. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I'm aware of the enormous opportunity that we have in front of us to bring back grace, divinity, power, dignity of the human spirit more than ever before. And sometimes I wonder if our country even has what it takes to get back to that level of consciousness and awareness. And so I feel that the awakening that's happening from here and all over the world is timely. It's time. It's time. We've got to start to step up and step from within to become the better people that we always aspire to be. So I think we must be concerned, but I also believe that we must be prepared. And the age that we're in is an age of preparing the soul like we've never prepared the soul to live through times like this. The power of love, the power of a conscious choice, the power of presence, the power of your dignity and your truth is calling you. If you don't amplify them and bring them to the surface, I don't know, we might get pulled into all the drama that's happening out there.
Yes, we definitely do. So how do you see that place in each of us to cultivate empathy and compassion for others and compassion for ourselves? Do you have any suggestions or tools on how we can get there and start really awakening?
Kelly, I really want to be very genuine and truthful with you. And I think that it's about people being very truthful with themselves. And I'm not quite sure if we're ready to be that courageous enough to be honest with the self and to observe the fact that we have fed the energy that we're living in currently in this country and in the world. And as much as I can say I don't necessarily approve of what I'm witnessing, the question is, do I approve what I'm witnessing for me inside? Am I deceitful in any of my doings? Do I always tell the truth? Am I always at peace with my choices? Are we? Mm-hmm. And so I think that we're being genuinely called to use the virtue of honesty in this age like we never have before. because without the self-honesty, my soul cannot find way to breathe. It cannot find its way through the muck that we're living with. It's nothing outside of us anymore. It's something happening inside.
Yes, and I completely agree with everything you're saying. So if I can interpret that a little, do you feel that obviously this is self-created and self-generated? What's happening on the outside? Is that your belief?
I would like to take it a little bit gentler. I think it was written in the script for all of us to go through what we're going through.
Right. And with that said, there is a lot of suffering and pain. And I just spoke with Marianne Williamson about her book about pain, anxiety, depression. And she talks about that place of self-compassion and empathy and feeling connected to not only ourselves, but all the other pain that's happening in the world right now as sensitive feeling beings. I'm just curious your thoughts on that.
I agree with Marianne with everything she says.
Yeah.
My approach tends to be, because I live it, I live what I tell you. I'm not going to just say it. And I know what it takes to look at the self and accept things that I wish were not there. But I also know what it feels like when you do accept it and you decide that you're going to do something about it. So similarly to how you see the protests that are taking place today, if I can redirect that energy to each time I get angry and upset and jealous and critical and judgmental and change that around, because I don't believe in that energy, then we'll be able to see what it actually requires for our world to really shift at the level that we tend to idealistically view it. It's a great time, and we will pick up the vibrations that are happening around. So if you and I are becoming awakened and we are being accountable in the way that we choose to think and feel and conduct our affairs, then people will also feel that too. And that will touch their minds and their hearts. I was at a lecture in California yesterday. And in the lecture, the woman asked me, what is the effort that you think women should make today? And I said, women and men need to believe this is their last day on earth. Mm. And you should put the quality of the dignity, respect, value, and honor in your every moments. And I don't care how fast this wheel runs and takes us, I've got to breathe and remember what's going to matter to me at the end of my journey is the way that I feel when I'm done here.
Hmm. I love everything you just said. And the question in me, like Marianne brought up something as well that made me think of what you were talking about. Hmm. I struggle personally, and she said a lot of people struggle with, we tend to, first of all, how do we do that? Because I'm definitely every day not living exactly the way I want with the intention I want. I have darkness. I have negative thoughts. I have fears. I have worries. You know, my book is all about the mess and diving in and just showing up as you are. And like you're saying, to the best of your ability, really remembering the end game is what I'm hearing you say. Remembering it's about at the end, what do you want to have thought about in your life that you've done in integrity? And so I guess my question is, and I really want to hear your answer to this, is Marianne talked about how we push away relationships, connections out of fear instead of bringing love and inviting love, even sometimes the closest people to us. And I thought about the first thing that came to my head was my husband. And a lot of times because of my fears of intimacy, I do this and I create that disconnect with him, you know, and I ask myself, I'm curious, I've been a seeker my whole life, yet I still do that, you know, and I'm trying, but how do you move forward each step with the baby steps, learning how to be in that love space and openness, open-heartedness?
Thank you for sharing so
openly. I feel like I'm in tears talking to you.
I know, I can feel it. And I'll tell you this, I want to bless your husband. Bless him, please. Because you can only imagine what he's feeling, but how much love he has for you to know mm-hmm. that when you're ready, he's going to still be there for you.
Yes.
Please bless him and give him your love. You said something that I think was very telling. You know that you're creating all this mess around you and doing all of that stuff, and you know you could do better. And I want you to pause, and I want you to ask, why don't you?
Right.
Just to hold that. I know we can get carried away with our ability to speak and share and do things. Mm-hmm. But there's something inside of you and me and everyone else listening in that is true to us. Mm-hmm. And we have to pull that back. And even if it's nothing that I had planned, if you start to feel that comfort and that sense of truth and something that's worth something to you, you've got to respond to that, because you could climb to the mountain top and still don't feel satisfied.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I feel like there's a lot of people out there like me that way.
Yeah. Because there's still a lot of attention that we need to direct towards our thought process. It's the thoughts. These thoughts are governed either by algae, anger, lust, greed, attachment, or ego. It's an acronym I use all the time.
Oh, that's
okay. Algae.
Oh, great.
A for anger. Uh-huh. L for lust. G for greed. A for attachment. And E for ego.
Oh, I've got all those. No.
And who doesn't?
Right.
And every time that algae is involved in why I'm thinking what I'm thinking or why I'm about to say what I'm about to say or do, it digs me deeper in the hole and in a trap in my consciousness, making me anxious, afraid, disconnected, separated, and so on.
Right.
So here, there's the opposite to algae, because the opposite to anger is peace. The opposite to lust is purity. The opposite to greed is joy. And the opposite to attachment is love. And the opposite to ego is wisdom. So here's what I'm hearing. And both of us, I've been through it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get my book done. I'm going to continue with the conversations. But let me pull back and remember that if I'm going to enjoy the final product of my work, I've got to bring these qualities in the way that I think. So it's kind of a pattern. When we create a pattern, we don't know what to do with it.
Right.
Yeah, until either tragedy comes or you go fall in love with another husband and you're not going to do that.
No, I'm desperately in love with my husband.
You know, you're not going to do that.
I just want to deeply love him even more. You know, I want that connection.
And I think it'll start with you. It'll start with you. And I would recommend, even during our conversation, as you're listening and we're talking, can you detach from your attachments to your labels?
Detach from your... A little bit.
Okay, try. And watch how you start to feel inside of your non-physical energy, the soul. You start to feel like everything starts to come in place. And the story starts to change. Mm-hmm. And then what starts to come out of you is something very truly, truthfully connected to who you're supposed to be today.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful. You hate hearing all of that.
No, I don't hate hearing it. I get, my brain gets scrambled because I did explore a lot of that in my 20s. And I have a resistance to detachment because I feel like it's a lot of the word detachment, because a lot of us.
Yeah, but not that kind.
Are the avoiding.
No.
So that's why I kind of just, my brain got scrambled.
Okay, so here, if I was so detached, I wouldn't have conveyed or done over 10,000 lectures in my 20-something years of spirituality, one. I wouldn't be running a corporation.
Good point.
I wouldn't be organizing over 200 events per year. I wouldn't have traveled to over 90 countries. and I wouldn't be meeting the masses of people and talking and relating and dealing with things. I do accept that there's some spiritual groups or spiritual practice that are imbalanced. I wouldn't say that's true for all. I believe that if you take care of your fundamentals, mm-hmm. but you keep your attitude in a good place, you can do this. And it perplexes me because I think about, is it because of what's happened, you know, in your 20s that you're like, God, it just got me so off keel that I'm afraid to touch that feeling in me anymore. You know, sometimes the things that we've been through in the past create such a disruption.
Yes.
Right? For the rest of our journeys that we even just say, well, maybe there was another way I could have tweaked that. Mm-hmm. You know?
Right. Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you for that. It was so great to connect with you around that space. I think mm-hmm. it will be really helpful to a lot of women in my community because I think there's a lot of us out there going, yes, we have this yearning, but we don't really know how to even get started.
We don't. And I'll tell you this, you get started by listening to what you're feeling. Right. And I don't believe in moving away or detaching and not right. facing things. I believe in accumulating the right kind of wisdom,
okay,
discipline, consistency, patience, and good community.
That sounds like a lot of my book. That's perfect.
Give me 10 copies.
Definitely. So what, I mean, you just said it, but what is your vision for a healed and transformed world? You know, what does it look like? You just said it. How does it feel?
Yeah. For a transformed world, especially coming from America, I wish for my people here to begin an introspective practice, to be consistent, but to be truthfully, truthfully honest with their motives and the intentions for themselves and for one another.
Mm. That's beautiful. And you recently released a new CD entitled The Inclusion Revolution, Together Love with it. Love. Mm-hmm. Which I'd like to hear the story behind it, and I want to get one. Can you talk a little bit about that?
So I'm in India. I'm a little bit numb after the elections. I've not been able to write any articles. I just allowed myself to settle. So I'm on the mountaintop, and I recorded some words that I thought were important for me, and they borrowed from the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, E Pluribus Unum, the resistance movement. And I wanted to find words that would elevate the interpretation of the Constitution, where it didn't seem to go just to one side of the spectrum, and it didn't serve just one particular group of people who thought that, well, it's our forefathers that designed this, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So I came back to DC, and a young man followed me on Twitter called Joe Robb. And Joe Robb is a producer. And on his Twitter handle, he says explicit music. And I was like, explicit, I guess it must be some dirty language about mm-hmm. girls. And I'm like, I'm not going to listen to it, but he produces and he's hip hop. And I don't know anything about hip hop. Mm-hmm. And if I'm going to create an inclusion revolution, I need to face something I know nothing about.
That's fabulous. Right. That's so great. Joe.
I called Joe. He's like, sister, have you heard my music? I was like, no.
That's so great. Good for you. I mean, you have to walk your talk, right? You do.
I'm like, no. And I said, well, can you do this? I really think you should do this. And so he tried. And the first two tracks were like disco meditation.
So, oh, I can't wait to get this.
So I said, I asked Joe, could you just, if you don't want to do this, that's fine. But if you just go deeper into it, I want to see, I sense you can do this. Kelly, that young man went deep into letting go what he was accustomed to. And the music on that track is what everyone loves. Nobody even cares about the meditation.
Oh my gosh, that's, oh, I can't wait to get it. I'm serious.
I am. Wow. And so for me, Inclusion Revolution is about helping all of us to confront that which is different and to be open and lovingly, to be curious, to listen, and to understand and to accept everyone is God's child.
Mm-hmm. We need more of that in this world, yeah. Especially right now. And so what is your deepest wish for humanity right now?
might be the same. Please listen. Be honest with yourself. Please stop wearing all your masks. No one's going to give you freedom or liberation. You're the only one that can give your soul liberation when you go home. Imagine it's your last day and you just want to value everyone around you. Mm-hmm. You want to go and tell your husband, you mean so much to me and thank you. Just thank you for everything you've offered. And you want to tell yourself, you mean so much to me and thank you for doing the best that you could up until now. So that honest conversation is what's required to heal the world.
You've said the word honest a lot in this and
where I am right now.
The thread is, you know, it's beautiful. This honest conversation inside yourself.
But Kelly, there's so much deception in the world right now.
Yes.
So we're not even able to decipher what is truth and what isn't. And if we don't have our truth, then it's hard for us to subtly, intuitively sense, is this the truth? So if you're living a life of truth, your soul will automatically resonate and find the truth in the midst of the deception.
And really, everything you just took me through in those questions you told me to do, yeah, that's it right there.
I think you will
resonate if you're in truth.
I think so.
You will resonate with your truth.
I think so.
That's so beautiful. So Shoshana, it's been so great to speak with you. And where can people find you?
AmericaMeditating.org on my website, for especially the radio show. And also, if they happen to be in Washington, D.C., just come by TheMeditationMuseum.org.
Yes, and I will have information on there as I spoke about at the beginning. So thank you so much, Sister Jen. It's been so great to speak with you today.
Thank you for your work and lots of good wishes and big hug to your hubby.
Oh, thank you.